morning, Twin Cities, and welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. A wonderful morning to you. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I know it's kind of hot out there. It's like we're taking care of our dogs and cats again as if it's middle of July, huh? My gosh, crazy, crazy hot weather again. But anyways, I'm Kathy, your host. I'm so happy to be here with you. And our wonderful co-host, Dr. Nicole, is with us as well today. She'll be with us today and next week. Those are her two Sundays that she'll be on the Pet Connection Show. Good morning to you, Dr. Nicole, and I hope that you're doing well.
Good morning. Yes, I am doing just fine, but I'm anxious for my fall to arrive. I'm sick of summer.
You're sick of summer. Yep, that's right. You're the fall girl and I'm the summer girl. So, you know, I can't go any farther without first mentioning that I'm sure all of you pet appreciators, and I know Dr. Nicole and myself, you know, are just thinking about the pets that are part of that Hurricane Florence. Well, I guess Tropical Storm Florence right now. And I just can, you know, I'm just imagining if I was a volunteer or if I was a pet owner or if I was in charge of a rescue group, just the all-consuming efforts that are going on right now, and that will last for a while, displacement for a while, whether it's owners and their pets out of their homes or rescue groups having to find temporary shelters or just rescue groups moving, you know, sort of quote-unquote giving up their dogs and cats and moving them to other shelters throughout the country. You know, I just wanted to say a shout-out to everybody down there and just sending them the very best of luck. Just what a mess to be in and very scary situation. I did hear of, no, I didn't. I read about a man named Tony Alsup, something like that. He's your average trucker, semi-trucker. And he got involved in, you know, rescue efforts last year during the storms in Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico as well. He became involved in, but he bought a school bus after the hurricanes last year, and he coordinates with different rescue groups. And he did here with four rescue groups in South Carolina, which is, you know, the next one to get pounded, and I'm sure they're getting some of that right now, but. He went down, and I think just earlier today, maybe even yesterday, loaded up his school bus that he bought just for transporting rescue dogs out of natural disaster zones. And I thought that was so cool. There's some fun photographs and stuff. It was in the Greenville News, if you wanted to look that up online. I believe that's a paper out of Tennessee. But yeah, I just thought that was, actually, I'm not really sure. I just assumed because he's from Tennessee. But, you know, he just loaded up, it was total of 64 cats and dogs, so 11 cats, and it would have been, what, 53 dogs? And he was taking most of the big dogs and the ones that aren't so, not necessarily quote-unquote cute and cuddly, and he was taking those dogs from four different shelters and coordinating with some other rescue organizations and shelters in Alabama and Tennessee. And I thought, that's great. That's just one man, one person, you know, buying a bus just for that, an old school bus, you know, and trucking down there. And it already started to rain, but he, you know, he got the wet dogs and cats, and they're on their way to less stormy communities in different states. But I just thought one person doing all that, and I'm sure there's a lot of coordination with other rescue groups and that kind of thing. I know the ASPCA is down there. They have such an incredible program for these kind of natural disasters. It's just amazing, and I'm sure you can read all about it there on their website. But Dr. Nicole, what goes through your mind during these times where you know you're somewhat helpless, except for, like, donations, you know what I mean, or unless you can physically leave your community and your job and your family and go somewhere and physically help out. But what are your thoughts about what's going on down in the Carolinas?
Well, I have a lot of friends, you know, down in those areas. So I'm, you know, instantly worrying about them. And of course, the friends that I do have are all veterinarians because we met in vet school. So, you know that they have pets and that they're very involved in, you know, worrying about that type of thing. And I do feel helpless. Like you said, you know, it is a very a very helpless feeling, because if, you know, I can't just pick up and buy a bus and go load it up. I sure wish I could, though. But if I could, you know, leave my job and all of that, that's certainly something. I always feel pulled to help, you know, in times like this. And so I do feel helpless, you know, aside from, like you said, donations, but it would be nice to be able to be there and actually be physically helping them. But, just hard to do when you have, you know, your job and you have to be at your job. You know, you don't have a position where you can just say, you know, I'm taking a couple weeks off and I'm going to go do this. Not everybody can do that. So
right.
I'm just thankful for the people that are doing it.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure since Hurricane Katrina, I know that there's been a lot of efforts, especially with the bigger rescue organizations and animal welfare organizations like the ASPCA. They probably have, you know, training sessions for would-be volunteers in those kind of situations. And I know I read somewhere that they even, I don't know if they own it themselves or if they coordinate with other groups, but, you know, they were making sure that there was rescue boats, you know what I mean? Not just trucks and vehicles and stuff, just rescue boats going into areas and where there were pets that were stranded with their owners and that kind of thing. So obviously a lot of thought has been, and planning and preparation has been put into all of, you know, this, not forgetting the animals since Hurricane Katrina. And it would be fascinating for me to just kind of see the bigger picture and all the details that are involved in all that. I think that would just be fascinating. One thing, though, that I did read, Dr. Nicole, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. And, of course, pet appreciators, if any of you have opinions, always call. You know, sometimes we get a lot of callers and sometimes we don't, but I love it when people call in. And I should probably say the number now that I said that, 952-946-6205. But so I was reading just a little bit, you know, that there was one rescue group, and I don't remember if it was North or South Carolina. And I don't know how big they were. Again, I was just kind of skimming it because something caught my attention about if they didn't get help finding shelter for their rescue dogs, they would have to euthanize them. And I was like, wait a minute. I didn't read all of it, but it was like, number one, what is the plan? I mean, I'm assuming that all rescue groups probably have some sort of an emergency plan. You don't have to live in a hurricane area to, you know, be immune from natural disasters. There's fires, there's snowstorms, there's tornadoes, there's flooding, there's, you know, fires, there's whatever, you know what I mean? Electrical power outages, gas line breaks. God, I sound horrible this morning thinking of all these disasters. But, you know, I mean, I'm assuming every rescue plan or rescue group organization, they have some sort of an emergency plan. You know, I mean, I know a lot of organizations have, you know, foster homes where dogs, you know, if something happens and there's an emergency situation, you know, most foster, you got all these volunteers in affiliated with the foster homes to be able to help out and that kind of thing. But do rescues in the world of rescue, Dr. Nicole, are there like partnerships between like school systems or church basements or warehouse places or light industrial complexes, farmlands, you know, whatever, people in the local business community, where there, you know, is there some sort of a backup plan for natural disasters like this? Like, okay, if there is a natural disaster, this is exactly where we take all the pets immediately. And then after 2 days, if the situation hasn't improved, then this is a plan for, you know, the remaining time or whatever. Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, wait a minute. If you take in all these dogs, it's kind of like having a family with lots of kids. What's your plan? You know what I mean? Like, you know, most families would have, like, if something happens, we all meet at, you know, Aunt Nellie's house or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, I was just trying to think there, that automatically thinking of if somebody can't come help us, we are going to have to euthanize the dogs. Like that, to me, there's a lot of steps that we're missing, and I totally understand the stress that they're under. But it's a commercial break. I can't talk anymore, but I want to talk more about this afterwards. Please stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. On my next show, I'll be talking with Paul Blum, CEO of Right at Home, an in-home care and assistance company serving the Twin Cities. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Thanks for sticking with us, Pet Appreciators, through the commercial break. And if you're just joining us, we're, you know, talking obviously about the rescue efforts and some of the issues around that regarding pets and rescue organizations, animal shelters in the Hurricane Florence path, tropical storm. Now I think it's been downgraded too. But I was asking Dr. Nicole, and if any of you have any knowledge on this, you know, please let me know. But, you know, what are the emergency plans of rescue groups? Is that something that, Dr. Nicole, do you think that that's something rescue groups can really start focusing in on, or do you think most of them have that? What is your experience?
Well, excuse me, I think it's a great idea. My experience is going to be a little bit, under that, only because our rescue, you know, we're considered a small rescue, which it sounds crazy, but, we probably have about 80 animals in rescue, but they are all in foster homes aside from maybe like 12 kitties, you know, that we have currently at the clinic waiting for foster homes. In that circumstance, it kind of like spread fear for a second thinking, oh my goodness, like I would assume and hope that if there was some type of natural disaster that, you know, the animals that are in these foster homes, you know, they would be scooped up just like the foster's actual pets would be. And I know that is likely the case, but the ones at the clinic, I know that we would all just grab them, you know. Cats, I think, are a lot easier, you know, when it comes to that. You know, I would just probably put them all in carriers and load them up in my car or, you know, something, or, you know, split the duties with, you know, other veterinarians at our clinic and staff members and volunteers. But I think for some of these larger rescues where they actually have, you know, facilities where these animals live, I mean, that is terrifying. I don't know if they have those plans in, you know, in the works or organized. But yeah, that is very scary, because I think of, excuse me, just myself, you know, we have 9 cats, 2 foster cats and 2 dogs. It's like, just, you know, the thought of having to just grab all of them and go somewhere is terrifying. I do know that when I lived, you know, in St. Kitts there for those 3 years, there were times when there were hurricane warnings and hurricanes that came through. And, you know, they would say, you can all come, you know, to the school and your pets are all welcome. You know, so I know a lot of people did that. I didn't. I remember staying where I was in my apartment, you know, because I felt safe there, you know, due to my location on the island. But I can't imagine how stressful. I think of the livestock and animals that are in zoos, and it's just very scary and very sad to think about.
Yeah, and with the weather patterns, well, I mean, I'm not here to debate climate change with anybody, but I'm definitely a believer that it is happening, and I think we just need, as a society, to come up with more appropriate and more climate change related disaster plans. You know what I mean? In terms of everything, people right. and pets included. And, you know, what does that look like? What partnerships need to be developed just for that? You know, taking a look at all the community spaces, empty buildings or storage facilities or whatever that's in our community that we could, you know, make use of in case of an emergency. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen, but you know, especially with the hurricanes and the wildfires, it just seems like I just wish that there was some sort of magical thing. You know what I mean? And everything was really well planned out and running smoothly. And people, I'm just kind of, you know, just wishing that everything would be okay, I guess. So. But yeah, I can just imagine that. And one thing I don't know either, Dr. Nicole, and maybe our listeners know, but, you know, when these rescue organizations move their dogs to other shelters and that kind of thing, what are the general policies of getting them back? I mean, do these rescue organizations just go belly up, so to speak, and they don't ever operate again? Or in time, do they... You know, I mean, if they can get up and running again in another month or two, do they just take the shelter, same shelter dogs back? Or what sort of happens with that? I know more and more people, especially, you know, I noticed that with new clients, more and more people have dogs from out of state. They're adopting not Minnesota dogs or cats. They're adopting dogs that are from out of state. And that's been such a strong trend lately. It doesn't seem to matter what rescue group they adopt from. It's typically a dog from out of state. And so I just kind of wonder about that too, you know, because there's obviously, when things get back to normal, there's still pets around. There's still people that are going to need to give up their pets. So what happens to those rescue groups? You know, have you any information on that or heard anything?
No, unfortunately, you know, I'm, again, kind of a, we're a little bit separated from the larger scale rescues. You know, we're just such a small rescue. We don't pull from out of state or anything like that. You know, we don't have, we probably have, 75 cats in our rescue and 5 dogs, you know, so we're very focused primarily on taking animals that are local, and a lot of them come into our clinic to be euthanized, and that's kind of the majority of the time we get our pets that way. So we're definitely not. I'm very, I guess, naive when it comes to, you know, pulling large amounts of dogs from out of state. I know a lot of rescues do that. You know, there's a lot of work being done with like the awful like dog meat trades and things like that. I just it makes my head spin just thinking about it. So I don't know the answer to that. I would like to believe that they don't go belly up and that they, you know, once they get back on their feet, you know, they can continue with their rescue efforts. I don't think there's a way that they ever get those animals back. I think it's in such an urgent type of situation. They just want them going to some place where they're safe and cared for. But hopefully they all can get back on their feet and continue doing their work. I just know that I feel like we don't need more rescues. We just need more volunteers working for well-established rescues. That's kind of my take on it. So I feel like if we had more volunteers and more fosters, you know, more people willing to let these animals live with them, you know, well-established, you know, successful rescues would be able to just keep going. I get a little bit nervous when you hear of brand new rescues popping up all over the place. You know, just makes me a little nervous. But I would hope that they get back on their feet and can continue their good work.
Yeah, and it's so much more. Rescue organizations are so much more than just, oh, I want to help, you know, and this is what my little niche could be or whatever. It just seems like there's so much more than that in terms of making sure they are cared for medically, nutritionally. There's good foster homes, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's really almost a full-time job to take that on. We are going to go into another commercial break. I just have one other thought, though, about that, Dr. Nicole. I'll just spit it out, and then you can sort of think about it, and we can talk about it on the other side. But while you were talking, I was just glancing at that article I was reading, and it is a Humane Society in North Carolina that was saying that they're getting so many influx that some of these current ones that they have... can't say it in 2 seconds. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, your lying eyes, perception, memory, and justice.
The criminal justice system often relies on eyewitness testimony.
But psychology has shown just how unreliable our memories can be.
Not to mention the cognitive biases and unconscious influences that infect the jury pool.
So, how's that justice system working out for you?
Your lying eyes, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. Serving family favorites in Minneapolis since 1964, Milda's Cafe is a great spot for breakfast or lunch. Wake up with their delicious Eggs Benedict or biscuits and gravy and savor their many great lunch options. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Milda serves authentic Finnish pasties. Open weekdays 6 to 3 and now on weekends 8 to 2 on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn. Specializing in Szechuan and Peking cuisine, the Great Wall Chinese Restaurant has been a local favorite since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include the sesame chicken, imperial beef, and Peking duck. The Great Wall Restaurant is located off 45th and France, with takeout available too. More at greatwallrestaurant.us.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 89 and a low around 70. Monday, a 40% chance of thunderstorms after 1 p.m. with a high of 84 and at night a low around 61. Tuesday is looking to be partly sunny with temperatures in the 70s. AM 950 is brought to you by Eat Local Minnesota. Break away from the usual and find a list of one-of-a-kind local restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com. From elegant to casual, exotic to comfort food, they've got everything and more. Find the full list of incredible nearby restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Thanks again, Pet Appreciators, for staying with us through the commercial break. Again, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's Kathy and Dr. Nicole, your hosts here live on the show today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is our call-in number. Offer anything, you know, any questions related to the topic we're talking about or anything. So especially if you have any medical questions, Dr. Nicole is on today and she's on next week as well. So is it next week, Dr. Nicole? The 20th?
Yes.
Okay, good. Wow. Okay,
at least
good.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Time goes by so fast. I thought, gosh, is that the 23rd already? How can that be? But anyways, I don't want to, you know, spend a ton more time talking about this, but you know, it was just a shelter that said, you know, we're bound by law to accept all animals that are brought to our shelter. But if they run out of space and they can't find anybody else, then they have to start choosing, you know, which animals will be euthanized. So, but it's mind-boggling to me because, number one, you want to have this disaster plan in place. You want to evacuate if needed. It's hard to determine exactly where the path might go. You know, I think some people probably thought that they weren't going to be in the path or not in the stronger part of the path, the more dangerous one. So sometimes maybe they made decisions. You can't control Mother Nature. You know, you just have to plan as if. But where do you, like, if you euthanize them? Oh, this is terrible, Pet Appreciators. Please forgive me for even saying this. But, like, the animal is, unless you cremate the animal is still there in the shelter. And, like, it's still a body that has to be taken care of. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they cremate him right away. And, I'm sorry for talking about this. But, you know, I think about these kind of things. And, you know, it's to euthanize an animal in the shelter just to bring in another one. Like, how do you choose? You know, why put people in those situations and organizations in those situations? So, you know, for me, it just feels probably the easiest and the best to just have some sort of natural disaster plan for rescue groups to have that. Because I just don't think, you know, again, I don't want to get all political on you because I have some strong political viewpoints on climate change, but I just think that, you know, I just believe with the current climate situation that, you know, things need to be updated in terms of handling disasters and what we can do as a country to really, you know, help with that. People and pets, my gosh. So I don't know, Dr. Nicole, I felt bad saying that, but I said it anyways. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no. I mean, it's...
And what do you do? You know what I mean? You have to cremate them.
Yeah, it is... I could never, ever, 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 you know, work in a place where you had to euthanize for space. I mean, I am so thankful to, you know, work for a veterinary clinic where if something comes in, because honestly, in the past week, we had three cats, you know, come in to be euthanized for reasons that were inappropriate, in my opinion, and we were able to save those, you know, and when we didn't have any room, you know, in our rescue, we've been just slammed, but thankfully, you know, we were able to take them in, and we actually were able to transfer one of the cats, you know, over to another rescue who actually had an open foster, just because we've been hit incredibly hard financially in the past month. It's been really terrible, but I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine the position that they're in, like knowing that all these animals are just coming in and in and in and in. It's like, where do you put them? Who can help you? You know, they don't have the luxury, like I just said, where I would say, oh, I'll just load up the 12 cats in my SUV and here we go. You know, they can't load up 50, you know, to who knows, hundreds of dogs and cats, you know, in vehicles. It's like, where do you put them? So my heart just breaks thinking about being down there. I can't imagine.
Well, and then the food. You know, I mean, there's food that's donated, yeah. And I'm sure they if they need to, they purchase some. But It's not like you just put the dog in the crate in the van and a couple more and off you go. You got to chuck along some big bags of food. You know what I mean? Like, of course, it needs to be bowls. And you know, I'm sure bottled water is in short supply. So then, I mean, there's just so much planning and preparation. I mean, I just really hope that all rescues all over the country, regardless of what their physical environment is, you know, that there is some sort of a big plan for an emergency situation. You know, who's going to help when, what roles people will play, what vehicles will be in use, what food, you know, and bowls, you know, go with what dogs and, you know, I mean, all that kind of thing. Because it's, yeah, you think just what a waste, too, you know, if they can't move all that donated food out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it puts quite a burden, although I'm sure they'll accept the responsibility, but it does put a burden on the next community in the next state to make sure that there's enough food, you know, for the incoming pets. So, gosh, you know, and then, of course, with people, I mean, you know, obviously, we want people to be, you know, prioritizing these situations. And so I can just imagine hospitals, nursing homes, et cetera. So whatever. But anyways, I hope that wasn't too much of a downer. But cheering for everybody down there. I'm sure that we'll hear amazing stories and probably some sad ones, but just, you know, probably some amazing stories of people helping out where they can, when they can, saving a pet's life here and there. And hopefully families that either... Well, I don't know. I don't want to say had to abandon their pets, but had to, I don't know. I just hope that if reuniting pets and people can be done as fast as possible, and hopefully that there's a lot of good record keeping for that as well, because I hate to see pets separated from families if they really, 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 truly want to keep them. So, but anyways, whatever. So, Dr. Nicole, I know you've got a nail trim coming up here at Chuck and Don's again in where? Anoka? Where is it?
It's in Elk River today from 2 to 4. I previously was going to be attending that, but then we found out that one of our family members was having a little birthday party, and I miss a lot of things with our family, so I was able to find replacements, so I won't be there, but... Dr. Tracy is going to be there from our clinic, as well as three of our amazing other volunteers and technicians. So they'll be there trimming nails from 2 to 4 and also placing microchips. It's at the Chuck and Don's in Elk River today.
Okay, 2 to 4.
Yep.
All right, yep, and that's great. Just to get that done, too, I get asked all the time, oh, Kathy, you know, as a dog walking business, do you think you have time, Kathy, you know, to trim the nails? And we usually just say yes and then just quietly run them to a groomer because we don't do it ourselves. But yeah, it's great. It's something you can do, bundle it all together, double-check the microchip, get the pet's nails trimmed, and then buy the food for the week or the month, and then you're all set. So I think that's just a great service that you guys do. So anything else with your rescue you might want to share about? Otherwise, I can go into some other topics.
Well, we've had the most, I guess I should say, horrible, sad, awful month that has ever happened, I guess, in 7 years of this rescue. So we're definitely in the fundraising aspect of things right now. So we have two fundraisers coming up that I would love to mention. So on October 7th, which is, I believe, a Sunday, the Sammy's Pizza in Elk River, all day, whatever you go there and buy, whether it's, you know, beverages, pizza, any food items, it includes takeout orders and things like that. 15% of all their proceeds are going to go to our rescue, and that's for the entire day. So that's we're excited for that one because it's not like people are just handing us money. You're actually going there to eat. Sammy's Pizza is wonderful. So that's on October 7th. You just have to mention that it's for Tough Start Rescue, so TUFF. You just want to mention that, and then they'll make sure that that order is marked. And so that, you know, 15% of that order goes to our rescue. And then on October 24th, the name is escaping me. I'll have to look at it on the break. But we're going to be doing a bingo night at one of the pubs in St. Paul. I think it's the Summit
Summit Brewery. I'm going to have to look into that. I'm so sorry. My brain is like fried. But on October 24th from 4 to 8, we're going to be doing that. So I'll get the exact location. This is brand new. We just found out about this. So we're super excited. And that's going to be a fun time too. So I'll get the exact location and we can share that. But yeah, so we're definitely in the fundraising zone right now. It's constantly on our brains because in the past month we've ended up about $18,000, kind of in the hole. I mean, we're definitely fundraising like crazy. I had friends message me and tell me that they called and, you know, paid $1,000 on one cat's bill, which, you know, it's so amazing. I can't even explain how amazing that is. We had another donor, you know, hand us a check for $2,500 to help pay for, you know, a kitty. And it's just, people are so amazing. So we're just, we're struggling right now, but I will be able to overcome it eventually here.
Yeah, sounds like it's a tough month. And then you had a couple kitties too, like newborn kitties. Somebody dropped off newborn. Oh, what was that like?
Well, so we had, I can tell you briefly, but we had saved a feral cat. This woman had, I don't know if she'd been working near this colony, but there were feral cats everywhere. She could tell several of them were pregnant. And she was just reaching out for help. And so, you know, we did have a foster that had some availability. So we said, sure, we will take, you know, a pregnant feral. We set her up, everything. She had her babies, but then unfortunately, just like what happens very commonly, she was not taking care of them, whether or not she was stressed or whether or not she didn't have, you know, any milk production or she thought something was wrong with the kittens. We're not sure. So, you know, we swooped in and grabbed the kittens and started bottle feeding them. And they were doing amazing for a couple of days. And then three of them just acutely became sick. You know, despite everything we tried to do, we did have to end up euthanizing three of them, which was so awful. But they had what is likely called fading kitten syndrome. So if they don't drink their mother's colostrum within the first like 2 days of life, you know, they're not going to be protected against normal viruses and things like that. So I just don't think they weren't equipped with what they needed to just sustain life. And so that was devastating. And then the final one, she did amazing. You know, I had her with me for quite a while, every 3 hours, giving her food, or feeding her, I should say, through her bottle. Excuse me. And, you know, she went to a wonderful foster, a very, very experienced bottle raiser. And she did great for a week, and then the same thing happened to her, so it was pretty terrible. So it's been pretty rough. Lots and lots of tears. But we did have one of our two kitties that was hospitalized. He did make it out. He was hospitalized for 9 days with a bill of about $9,000 because he ate a piece of string off of a cat tower and had to have multiple surgeries. And so he is doing amazing, thank God. But it's been rough. So
yeah,
we're fundraising.
Well, I'm sorry. And I know that that's all extra work on you, you know, longer nights, more working on weekends. And so I understand that as well. And I think we all do too, that it's just not it is the money part, but of course it's, time, you know, and more time there, obviously means, less sleep for you. So cheering for you too, Dr. Nicole. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You know, pet appreciators.
Lost about 6 pounds in the past week.
Just for worrying.
You know, like waiting by the phone in the middle of the night for various different emergency clinics to call you. You know what I mean? Just even the sound of the clinic phone, every single time the clinic phone would ring, regardless of where I was, my heart just dropped because I knew that every single one of those calls could be coming from me. You know, it was rough, but we're on the upswing here. We've had some good adoptions. And
we're going right into a commercial break. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
Yes.
I just wanted to let Dr. Nicole finish. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
Lots of good things come in threes, like three-pointers, a triple scoop ice cream cone, and Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale. Just install a new furnace and AC this September, and you'll triple your savings to the tune of $2,700. That's right. Get rebates and other discounts for a total of $2,700 in savings. Learn more about Standard's triple savings sale at standardheatingdeals.com. That's standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Margaret Wheatley said, "There is no more powerful way to initiate significant social change than to start a conversation. When a group of people discover that they share a common concern, that's when the process of change begins. On October 16th, you can be part of that change. Engage in the conversation at an incredible event, the Minnesota Women's Press Conversations, Using Our Voice and Vote. With midterms right around the corner, how we lobby, influence, and campaign, especially with people who have different views, has never been more important. So go to womenspress.com to register now. Oh, and Patricia Torres-Ray and Nakima Levy-Armstrong will be in a keynote conversation with each other. And in addition, all of us will mobilize through incredible breakout conversations. October 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 in St. Paul at Carondelet Center, using our voice and vote. Register at womenspress.com. Press.com. That's womenspress.com. See you there.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This Monday, our theme will be about changing the world. I'll throw a new phrase at you, fake change, and then I'll pivot to the big interview with Kathy Hying of the Lyft Garage, whom I guarantee will inspire you. Yep, changing the world takes being inspired. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jasia from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. My wife and chef Carrie and I invite you to enjoy our local seasonal fare, along with thoughtfully chosen wine and beer lists, a refreshing cocktail selection, and continued dedication to outstanding service. Nightingale's freshly remodeled patio is perfect for dinner, happy hour, brunch, and late night fun. We offer our full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Pet appreciators for sticking with us with the commercial break. The advertisers here on AM 950 are so important to continue to show them support. So I'm glad that we had that time there for them. But pet appreciators, I just wanted to let Dr. Nicole finish here real quick. And then I wanted to share a new financial aid grant that is available for some people that are having some issues with a particular a medical issue with dogs, maybe dogs and cats, I'm not sure. But anyways, Dr. Nicole, did you want to finish?
I
cut you off, yeah.
I just wanted to mention is that I did look up the location. It had escaped me, but it's called Big River Pizza. So it's Big River Pizza with Summit Brewery, and that's on October 24th. It's a Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m., so you can come and eat and whatnot and play bingo. And so we're really excited for that and hoping that these are both going to be quite successful fundraisers for us. But, yeah, so October 24th at Big River Pizza in St. Paul, and then October 7th is at Sammy's Pizza in Elk River.
Sounds like some fun pizza nights ahead. That's one of the nice things. Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm not going to say that because I'm not 100% sure. I'm second-guessing myself. But, you know, obviously some fundraisers are tax-deductible. So just keep that in mind, too, pet appreciators. When you're going out to eat, some fundraisers are tax-deductible. So it's always worth it to save your receipts or whatever, too, if it's for a benefit. But anyway, so you're all aware of the CARE card. Isn't that what it's called, Dr. Nicole?
CARE credit, yep.
Okay.
So CARE credit card, yep.
CARE credit, yep. So I just wanted to throw that out, pet appreciators, just in case anybody is out there thinking, gosh, I just had a medical bill, blah, 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 blah. And whatever. So, but anyways, the other one I just stumbled upon, not even looking for it, but it's called the Magic Bullet Fund. Magic Bullet Fund. It is not located here in Minnesota. I forget where, but it doesn't matter because it's open to people throughout the 50 states. But it's for people who have a dog for sure, and I'm not sure if it's dogs and cats that are getting cancer treatments. And I know that you have to submit an application and that kind of thing. Everybody, not everybody is accepted, but a number of people, dozens and dozens and dozens are. And so I just thought, just by a slim chance, if you just happen to be an owner or know of somebody who, you know, will do anything for their pet and they have been diagnosed with cancer and they do have some financial struggles, I would highly recommend, you know, filling out the application form for the Magic Bullet Fund. If it helps somebody somewhere, it's worth it, you know. So at least it gives people a little bit of hope, and maybe even if they don't get accepted, maybe it opens some new channels in other areas. So I just wanted to throw that out too. Magic Bullet Fund. Do you know any other ones, Dr. Nicole, that might be out there? This one is cancer specific.
I thought there was something called like a Rover or something. There was a list that was circulating on Facebook not too long ago of all these different types of places that you could contact. Gosh, I don't remember the exact names. I feel like something had Annie's in it or something like Red River. I don't even want to say because I can't recall. But I think if you did just a Google search and typed in kind of like like medical help for pets or something like that, there was a long list of places that you could message them, you know, and they may. It was the same type of thing that you were mentioning. They're going to need to see documentation, and it is, you know, not every single person obviously is going to be accepted. But I do know a couple people, just, you know, acquaintances that have used that and have thought that it was great. So it's certainly worth a shot to try that.
Yeah, especially if you're just in the very beginning and you're just thinking, oh my gosh, I want it so bad to keep my pet, give it quality of life. There is hope here with this particular treatment. How am I going to pay for it? That might be a slim chance, but definitely a chance, well worth looking into. You know, Dr. Nicole, I did want to ask you one medical thing, though. I don't have any experience with this. At least I don't think I've ever encountered this. Certainly not with my dogs, but I don't think I've encountered it with any of my client dogs. But the issue of fluid, excess fluid in a dog's abdomen, what could that mean? And what are some of the treatments? Now, we only have about 3 minutes, but it was something that I did come across, and I don't think we've chatted about that yet. But excess fluid in the abdomen, and what would be some warning signs for people?
Well, fluid in the abdomen is commonly called ascites or abdominal effusion. And so there are a few, I guess, diagnoses that can cause that. And so sometimes, you know, animals that might have heart failure or liver failure, animals with really terrible pancreatitis or GI tract diseases, you know, animals that have gotten into things like rat poison, or they have a, you know, a mass that has ruptured and it's bleeding in their abdomen. So I think anytime that you feel like your pet's belly looks a little distended or more round than normal, it's definitely a good idea to go into the vet right away. And what we can do is usually we do what's called tapping the abdomen. So we take a tiny little sample using a needle, and it will tell us, what is that fluid? Is it blood? Is it pus? Is it just fluid? You know, is it some other type of, you know, fluid that's oozed from someplace? And then we can run tests on that fluid and maybe try to figure out what's causing it. Most commonly, animals will require an abdominal ultrasound to really evaluate what's going on, drain off fluid if we can. It's not usually a very good prognosis, unfortunately. There really isn't a lot of good things that can cause fluid in the belly or fluid in the chest. But, you know, without knowing exactly what the fluid is, the prognosis will change, of course, depending on what it is.
Does moaning when lying down and getting up or trying to get comfortable, a fairly consistent moaning when the dog is trying to reposition himself or herself, is that any sort of indication of fluid in the belly? And we only got about a minute.
Well, I think that just sounds like discomfort to me, and absolutely fluid in the abdomen can cause discomfort. If you think about anything that's going to cause those abdominal muscles to stretch, that's uncomfortable. So I definitely think it could be a sign that there's something wrong, but it definitely fits if the animal has fluid in the abdomen and they're doing that. I think those are probably related.
And then just real quick, when you mentioned that there, you know, if you notice that their stomach, it has expanded a little bit, would that feel kind of jiggly because of the fluid, or would it feel more solid and hard?
Animals, it depends on the animal, but if a vet feels like we can actually tap on one side of the belly and with our other hand, we can feel what's called a fluid wave. So if you think about that, the fluid that we're tapping on the other side goes to the other side and sloshes around. So it might feel tight in that circumstance. Otherwise, it can feel very jiggly and loose too.
Interesting. Okay, again, I learned something new. Pet appreciators, we care about you. It's the end of the show. We will be back, both Dr. Nicole and I, live next week, so always feel free to call in. We wish you the very most wonderful day. Stay cool. Take care, everybody.